This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.
This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
Sports Talk 870 from WKAR at Michigan State University. We apologize for that errant open at the top of the hour. It's the third day in a row you've been told about Gagne, Reed, and Meyer, but a little technical issue, but we can assure you we are, like you, loving that at halftime the Spartans lead Valpo 35-18 at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Let me say hello to my colleague Kirk Heinze. And Kirk, what struck you about this first half so far?
Well, Russ, and I'll go green. After a pretty slow start, the Spartans were a little hyped at the beginning. I think on that first sequence, they missed four or five shots, but they got three or four offensive rebounds. They've picked it up after that.
Let's see. Appling was 7. Dawson has 5. Harris has 6. 9 for Nix. 5 for Payne. 3 for Trice on a triple, no doubt. So very nice. We'd love to hear what you think about the first half so far. If you're back into the kitchen from the TV and you left KAR on and want to share what you think about the first half, it's 355-WKAR, 517-355-9527.
Yeah, Russ, I thought the Spartans started out pretty slow on the offensive end, but when it was 8-8, Harris hit a 3,
yeah.
Trice hit a 3, and they were off to the races.
That got it going, yeah.
They were just off to the races.
I don't know about you. I love playing early like this and getting one of the first games, and I like that. I know it's not ideal for TV and people, but I like this.
Well, the only thing is tough for people listening and watching the game to hook up with our radio show.
Well, that's
right.
We're
hoping at halftime that they're doing that.
You and me. On AM 870 WKAR, Spartan Hoops. Again, the Spartans lead Valpo at the half 35-18 at the Palace of Auburn Hills.
Hey, so, Rush, you a little surprised at that 35-18 Valpo? Couldn't buy a basket there. They ended up with a couple of threes towards the end of the half, but they were stuck on 12 points for about 10 minutes.
I know. It's something else. Have we heard of any, well, there aren't any other games really to talk about upsets or anything so far, I don't think.
No, the Spartans are the first ones out of the gate today, which is playing down at the Palace of Auburn Hills. Well, the last time, Russ, they were down there in 2000, man, for that regional, I was there, Syracuse, Iowa State, two of the great games of the Izzo era.
Well, how fast does 13 years go? Wow.
Don't even remind me, Russ. Remind me.
Well, maybe we'll get the same result, so.
Yeah, this year's Spartan team is an enigma. They've got talent. They play hard. They do a lot of things well. But they go through these lapses. The first 5 minutes of the game, I think they had 4 points. By the 10-minute mark, I think they had 8 or 11.
Isn't everyone an enigma now, you know?
Yeah. On any given day, any team can beat another team. You just don't know.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Well, what about, we talked to a couple of people about your favorite topic, Tiger baseball, the last couple of days. Dan Dickerson yesterday, Don Gagne, a real rabid Tigers fan Tuesday. Anything you're thinking differently after talking to those two experts?
Well, Dickerson really confirmed the fact that Torrey Hunter is fitting into that dugout and that he's a leader.
Yeah.
And that Victor Martinez is. He also confirmed that Alex Avila's got all the right stuff to be a leader. I think he's got to get his game, particularly his hitting, worked out so that he can emerge. I mean, you got to feel good about yourself on the field before you can lead in the dugout.
I thought it was interesting listening to that again today on WKAR.org. If you did miss it, want to hear Dan Dickerson, Don Gagne, Steve Courtney on Monday, our friend from WJR. We had a real interesting chat with Gary Reed and Scott Meyer about radio and where it's going. Bill Emko was telling us about MLive.com, but any of these things you missed or want to hear again are at WKAR.org. And now I forgot what I was going to say because I veered off into that promo there. But,
well, back to the Tigers here for a minute. I mean,
the fact that he said, really, other than Houston and Minnesota, if things break right, any team in the AL could make the playoffs, including the Royals and Indians. Again, he said, if things broke, you know, who thought Baltimore or Oakland would get there last year? That he was encouraged by that.
And I agree. That was good for baseball. Baltimore hasn't been doing anything since Earl Weaver, time immemorial. And Oakland always surprises with Billy Bean and his boys out there. Good old Billy and Moneyball.
That's right. It's AM 870 WKAR. I think we still have some tickets to the Ultimate Sports Show. How about that? If you want to call in, tell us how many you need. This is that thing that Aaron McDonough from the MUCC and outdoor guru Tom Hugler, Kirk, were here telling us about yesterday. Ultimate Sports Show this weekend in Grand Rapids. If you want free tickets, 517-884-4783. Call Alex at 517-884-4783.
Yeah, just quickly on the Ultimate Sports Show, been going since 1946. All sorts of boats, outdoor apparel, seminars, big buck night. I mean, there's one thing after the other. It's at the DeVos place up there in Grand Rapids, Russ, and it's going to be quite a show. It goes from goes through Sunday.
Are you refreshing your beverage or getting another sandwich at the fridge and you left KAR on during the game? Please call us. What'd you think so far? The Spartans are leading 35-18 at the half, and we're at 355-9527 here on the great WKAR radio, Kirk.
Well, I'll tell you, this Valpo game had me a little bit worried. You got five seniors out there for Valpo. A lot of these kids, one from Australia, one from the Netherlands. Sometimes these kids start knocking down threes and you got a problem.
Doesn't look like it now.
No. It's hard for me to see Valpo coming back from 17 down.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. So, but it is 355-9527 is where you can get a hold of us. And we'd like to hear what you think about the game. So what do you think we just put the pedal to the metal in the second half now? What do you see coming up?
Well, I think that's Izzo's in that locker room right now saying, look, I know it's tough to play with a big lead, but this is the NCAAs. We don't let up. Let's get this thing done by the 10-minute mark. Get some other guys some minutes and some of the starters maybe a little rest before we play in the next round on Saturday. You know, Russ, nobody's better than Izzo preparing teams for the second, third rounds of the NCAA. Izzo always says to his players, you give me the first one on a weekend and I'll give you the second one. So, but I think, you know, with Harris having that shoulder situation, Dawson's still a little bit sore in the knee. I suspect that Izzo would like to get those guys off the court.
Yeah, no doubt. I guess we don't know if we do and what time we'll play Saturday yet. They won't even determine that. So do we have anything ready in there, Alex? Can we play anything? No, we don't yet. Okay. AM 870 WKAR. We're Kirk Heinze and Russ White here talking sports.
Hey, Russ, you know, I pulled a little bit of, and this is kind of interesting, the year-by-year results, Tom Izzo. This is, I think, his 16th straight year in the NCAA. His first 2 years, the team went to the NIT back in 95 and 96 and 96 and 97. In both instances, they got knocked out in the second round of the NIT. Since then, they've only lost in the first round of the NCAA over, and it will probably include this year, that only four times. But four times they went out in the first round.
Wow.
And that juxtaposed to all those visits to the Final Four. So a lot of fans might not know that.
That's right. And it just shows you got to get a lot of luck, too, you know.
No question about it.
The only first round one I remember was George Mason. Didn't they take us out in their Cinderella year?
They did. They took us out in the first round. Actually, back in 2010, 2011, remember we had all those problems with leadership. We were 9-9 in the Big Ten, tied for fourth just 2 years ago.
And who took us out?
I'm not recalling.
Yeah.
But boom, in the first round. And then we came back last year with a Sweet 16 with the leadership of Draymond Green and all that.
How about that?
But you know what happened in that year. That was after the Final Four year of 2009-2010, and we had issues with leadership. You know, Kalen Lucas and Darrell Summers probably should have been pros under different circumstances.
Yeah.
And that was a tough year. That's the year after that year, Izzo said, we're going to return to doing some things that we used to do.
That's right.
Rebounding and defense.
That's right. This is AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White, and that's Kirk Heinze over there. We do a show together called Greening of the Great Lakes. Some of those conversations you hear Sunday afternoons on another show I do here called MSU Today, 4 to 5 Sundays on AM 870 WKAR.
Yeah, Russ, who'd have thought? I mean, we love doing our Greening the Great Lakes show. You do all these fine things for Michigan State, KAR. Your podcasts are absolutely awesome. But the fact that we would be doing some sports talk here this week during March Madness, who would have thunk it?
I know. And it was cool to have Bill Emko in yesterday because MLive.com is the other head of that three-headed monster that is Greening of the Great Lakes, which is broadly focused on sustainability issues. It's a weekly radio show, but we blog on MLive, which, as Bill told us, is the number one news site, so people see the stuff, and there's people these days that interact with it on the web that don't even own radios anymore, and people that still hear our show the good old-fashioned way and don't really go on the internet very often, so...
You know, Russ, one thing I thought that Bill said, among many things, that was really interesting, we always think that the sports are getting all the page views on sports, what have you. He said, frankly, although sports is maybe 50 to 60% of the page views, a lot of folks are going on MLive.com to look at other things as well.
Well, I remember he told us, too, that of all the Twitter feeds that kind of come out of MLive.com, our environment one was third only to the Lions and Tigers, which says a lot about... you know, people's interest in the environment and sustainability issues. And I think we're up around 15,000 followers there on Twitter, which is just at Green Michigan.
Yeah, based on all the things we've heard from young people, there is an interest in the environment. And this environmental thing, this sustainability thing permeates sports, it permeates everything else that we do, and that's a good thing.
Well, the other thing that I think Bill said was so interesting is that... go where the audiences are. Don't necessarily pull them to you. Go where they are. But guess what, Kirk? We have our good buddy Steve is on the line who wants to say hello. Steve, welcome to WKAR.
Hey. Since the basketball game seems to have been decided, I was curious if you all know anything about what's going on with Doug Pfister this spring.
Boy, former Albion Britain pitcher Kirk Heinze is going to take that one, Steve.
Hey, Steve, thanks for calling in.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't know. Usually with Pfister, if there's a problem, and he's getting shelled in spring training, there's no question about that. With him, it's usually location. My guess, and not having seen him, but just my guess, would be that he's probably up in the zone.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that slider's hanging a little bit, and he's just got to work on his I don't really worry about him too much when the season starts, but there is no question he's been struggling this spring.
Yeah, and meanwhile, Porcello has been throwing quite well, it seems.
Well, that's the conundrum now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, interesting, Steve. We got Dan Dickerson gave us some scoop on Porcello yesterday on the show. Porcello's developed a curveball. He's finally got an off-speed pitch that he's throwing with regularity. He's throwing it for strikes. And for the last 3 years, they've been trying to get him to work on something to complement that sinker and that slider. Mm-hmm. And apparently he's got it. He's got confidence in it. And the results are pretty encouraging.
Is that going to have an impact then on Smiley? Is Porcello likely to take the fifth spot?
The way it looks right now, I'd guess, even though that would give them five righties, that Porcello would have the fifth spot, and they'll keep Smiley for long relief. You got to have a couple of left-handed arms on that staff, even in the bullpen, if you don't have them in the starting rotation.
Right, because Smiley's having a good spring as well.
Yeah, well, he was up until his last couple of starts. And then, he had a little bit of trouble with location. You know, the interesting thing is that virtually all of the pitchers down there are looking pretty sharp. Verlander's looking good, Scherzer, et cetera. But Pfister, of all people, would be the one that's struggling a bit.
Well, Steve Lacy, what's your take on Rondon and the closer situation? That seems to be their biggest, question mark heading to opening day.
Well, the problem is I haven't been following it too much. It looked like he struggled, and then he had a couple of good outings the last time out. The last two times out, it looked like he did well. I think he struck out the side or something. So, I don't know. I sure hope he comes around because like many people were thinking, you could probably trade Porcello for a closer. But if he's throwing that well, then that's not going to be the case.
Hey, Steve, you're a big baseball fan. I know. From other conversations we've had here and there, but what's your take on the race this year? What does it look like to you? Who's going to be in the championship series, and what two teams do you predict might make it to the show?
Given all of the all that transpired with pitchers over the off season, it's hard to say. The Central doesn't look nearly as easy to win as it did last year. Kansas City and Cleveland, everybody has made moves. I do think Detroit will make it to the playoffs and have a good shot going back to the World Series. The lineup they have is incredible in terms of hitting, and as you just said, their pitching is doing well too. So I think the Tigers will probably get back to the World Series. In the other side, San Francisco still looks good. The Dodgers made some moves, but it's hard to say, you know, what's going to come. It all depends so much on what happens to your pitching staff. And I don't have a crystal ball that goes that far, but I would expect the Tigers to make it back to the World Series this year.
Yeah, and your health. And, you know, another interesting thing, Steve, that struck us in our conversation with Dan when I asked him about the American League, he said, really, other than Houston and Minnesota, everyone could make an argument that if things break right, and things like Baltimore and Oakland came out of nowhere last year, I mean, he says it's as wide open as it's ever been.
Yeah, I think so. And of course, it's still hard to get used to saying Houston's in the American League.
We'll see how that Astros-Rangers rivalry develops now.
Well, it would help if Houston had a team.
True.
My father-in-law lives down there, and he will go periodically and say it's just like going to a AAA game.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Maybe in the long run it'll be competitive. But right now, Houston's got a long way to go.
Well, Steve, I know you want to get back to the second half, but since you called, if we could tap you on sort of the topic we've been having on this show this week. We asked my old friend Steve Courtney, the morning sports guy on WJR, and then both Dan Dickerson and Don Gagne, whom you know, and even Bill Lemko, someone you've mentored who's at MLive. We're kind of asking, and with you and your journalism expertise, sort of where is this important state of journalism? People tie newspapers to journalism, and maybe newspapers are having their struggles. But it's important that we keep journalism strong, isn't it, however we get the information?
Oh, sure. And we've got to stop thinking in terms of delivery systems, because everything, any good organization produces their news and sends it out over every platform. New York Times shows video now. The New York Times is doing some great multimedia work that incorporates everything, video, graphics, interviews, et cetera, et cetera. And the problem is I don't think people are quite used to that yet. Eventually we'll grow into it. But if we could figure out another thing besides newspaper. Although having said that, there are still newspapers who are investing in the paper side of it because – That decline in circulation appears to at least have leveled out a little bit, and you have multi-platform use by people. So, yeah, I wouldn't give up on paper yet. It's probably around for another 10 years or so, but as we move to tablets that are just as convenient and cheaper to distribute, et cetera, I think eventually we'll move away from it. But it's news, and journalism is important to every community, and it's going to continue to exist. The issue becomes how much are people willing to pay for it.
And Steve Lacy, that brings up another topic, that how do you and your colleagues stay nimble trying to get the right curriculum when it seems to be changing, or have those basics never really changed about critical thinking and the like?
Well, of course. I mean, people confuse distribution with the reporting side, with the information gathering, et cetera. As a matter of fact, the digital media have actually enhanced that. The ability to use Twitter to reach out to people to find sources is incredible, using Facebook that way as well. So journalism is still journalism. People still write. They still do video. They still do audio. They occasionally put them together. So all of those things are still there, and it's the information that's most important. And I've always told students who come here and say they want to be a writer, I say that's fine, but do you want to be a journalist?
Yeah.
Because writing or video is just part of that. The real essence of journalism is the information that you have to give people, and that hasn't changed at all.
Hear, hear, Steve. Well, we want to let you get back to the second half. So nice talking journalism and Tigers with you, and we'll see you soon around the ComArts building.
Thanks for calling in, Steve.
Take care. Bye.
It's AM 870 WKAR, and it's... we're going to be right back, and we're going to hear about what's coming up on Talk of the Nation.
On August 22nd, 2011, Principal Tanisha Williams-Minor launched DC Met's school year.
It's a good day. I'm excited. First day of school.
And from that day forward, teachers and administrators work to keep at-risk kids in class and on track to graduate. I'm Neil Conan, turning failing schools around. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation at 2 p.m. on AM 870 WKAR.
Thank you for joining us today. I'm Scott Pohl with the weather. It'll be cloudy and we could get some snow, too. The high today, 30 degrees. Tonight's low, 17. It'll be cloudy and we could get some more snow tonight. Mostly cloudy both Friday and Saturday. Tomorrow's high, 35. Saturday, 39.
It's AM 870 WKAR 126 in the afternoon. And man, still, if this is spring, Kirk, we're in trouble.
Man, I'll tell you, I just read this morning, Spartan baseball was supposed to start this weekend at Cobes Field, but they're moving it down to Eastern Michigan University because they have the artificial turf down there. But even with the artificial turf, can you imagine playing baseball in this?
Oh, and I was at Meet the Chiefs last night at Okemos High, and they're already canceling all kinds of spring games and stuff.
You know, these northern teams just have a major disadvantage to the kids in this. You know, there's a lot of talk about the NCAA doing something with baseball and softball in the north. I mean, I couldn't agree more. It's just not fair. No fans are going to come out and watch in this kind of a weather. It's not fair to the players. It's something really – the NCAA really needs to do some things on behalf of the kids.
And boy, we were talking, amazingly, it's kind of cool in a way, but drives me nuts that the Tigers won series with the Yankees at home is going to be the first one and gone. I hope it's not 31 degrees with flurries when the Yankees come in for their one visit that first weekend.
Well, you know, Russ, you've been down there on opening day. That's always a big celebration. That's more like a coming out party. And then what happens to the games right after opening day in this kind of weather? I mean, even though the Tigers drew, I think, an average of 38,000 fans a game last year, over 3 million people, they're not coming out.
But you look, the first six home games are the Yankees and Blue Jays, arguably who will battle for the AL East. And what if the weather's terrible?
What are they thinking? You know, schedule the Yankees when you know the weather's going to be
tough. Then I saw, Kirk, it's like the second or third weekend where there's already a West Coast swing, and we play the Angels like – by the third week of the season out there, we're going to know a lot because we make that Oakland, Anaheim, Seattle swing after that. After we open at Minnesota, it's Yankees, Blue Jays, and then I think we hit the West Coast.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough open. I wonder if they're going to put Verlander and Jared Weaver together on the hill out there, renew that acquaintance.
Oh, boy. It's 128 on WKAR Radio. And let's see, it's the second half is underway, and
boy, it's tough to see Valpo coming back from a 17-point deficit, Russ, even if they're dropping threes like raindrops, man. It's just hard to envision.
I know, but this is fun then, so maybe we can start talking about Saturday already, but...
Yeah, and I don't know too much about the Memphis team, and they're playing St. Mary's. Now, this St. Mary's team that they're playing comes out of the same conference as Gonzaga, and although Gonzaga beat them a couple times, St. Mary's has only lost to Gonzaga.
Yeah.
So that whoever comes out of that game could be, you know, a tougher matchup.
Yeah. By the way, if you know, in the National League, I know they're looking at probably Dodgers, Giants out west. Who do you think in the Central are? It's the Phillies are kind of gone now, right? And Nationals again, are they picking?
Yeah, the Nationals are going to be tough. You know, you never discount Atlanta in the other division. They're going to be strong. But, boy, the Nationals are loaded. And, you know, I attended a game in that stadium about 3 years ago, and they were just beginning to emerge, the Nationals were. And it's a beautiful stadium. It looks out over the panorama of Washington, D.C., but they have done a fantastic job of building that team through the minor leagues, a little bit through trades. But they're a powerhouse. They got arms. They got sticks. They're legit.
Yeah. You know, I remembered what I was going to ask you earlier when I brought up this cold weather. A year ago, it was like 50 degrees warmer right now.
Yeah, it was 50 degrees
which
warmer.
Which kind of, you know, Mother Nature's kind of like computers. It just likes to remind you she's in charge once in a while. By the way, 37-20, MSU leads Valpo in the tournament with 17:47 to go in the second half. And, you know, Kirk, you do have a background in agriculture. And there's a lot of people within the sound of our voice that are interested in that, too. To explain, we know last year that freakishly warm weather like just destroyed the apple and the cherry crop. Why is this better? And are there any can we even have a prospect yet for how the spring will be, or is it too early?
Well, if we have our good friend, state meteorologist Jeff Andreessen, we could ask him that question. But I was talking to some farmers earlier this week, actually. This is more normal for spring. You got snow cover, and this is for corn and soybean, and I'll get to the fruit growers. Okay. But you got snow cover, you got hard ground, you got a gradual thaw. That snow goes down into the soil, creates soil moisture, which is really good for planting, et cetera. And you don't have your fruit trees with early bud break. Once they bud, and then you get a cold blast like we had in April, then that basically wipes out your crop, and that's what happened last
year. Well, we can hope for better this year.
Yeah, you know, those cherries and apples that we love so much in Michigan, we like to chomp on apples when we're watching Spartan basketball or Tiger baseball. So let's hope we have some
this
year.
That's right. It's AM 870 WKAR. I'm Russ White. He's Kirk Heinze. There's 16:51 to go in the second half at the Palace. Spartans 39, Crusaders 20. Looks like we're on our way to the, I guess that's the third round now, the way they count that play-in thing. So I'll bet you Saturday sometime at the Palace we get the winner of who again? You got your bracket there?
St. Mary's, I believe they're called, out of the Gonzaga Conference. I don't know the name of that conference. And then you got Memphis. And Memphis has got 30 wins.
I think all these Big Ten teams are going to do well getting out of the...
Yeah, the conference actually is the USA, Conference USA, with Memphis St. Mary's game.
I forgot you can join us, Alex. Stay on there. What did we say?
I said I didn't know the name of the conference.
That's right. Conference USA. God, who's left in that? Is that the one Cincinnati's in, or were they in
Big
East?
Yeah, Cincy's Big East. But if you look at the Conference USA, it's just Memphis. They've just dominated that conference for years. Now,
that's right.
If you look at the winner of this Michigan State-Valparaiso game, and then you're facing a Memphis team who has beat tough opponents this year. They face, a couple opponents that are in the tournament that are 2 and 3 seats. So it's not going to be an easy match.
Well, are they the usual quick guards with good hands or what?
Yeah,
are they going to turn us over?
I personally don't know too much about this Memphis team, but what I do know is we've played Memphis before.
Right.
We've seen it years ago when the Spartans have faced Memphis, and we've had difficulties. I think if you look ahead, and if we do beat Memphis, we play Duke, hoping that they do win out and beat their second round. But yeah, that's probably going to be the toughest match. Do you guys believe that the matchup potentially against Memphis would be a little more difficult than it would be against Duke just because of the past that Memphis
I don't Michigan know enough
had.
About Memphis, Alex, to say, but I thought what I did hear is that they've got good guards
they've
as
got
always
a real
and
good
they're
point
quick
guard
and they run and they steal the ball. We can't turn it over. I think we win.
Here's a great Memphis story. Alex is quite right about it, but the Spartans played Memphis out in Colorado, I think in Denver, a few years ago, and Calipari was the head coach out there. The Spartans got destroyed. And that was actually a game, it turns out, and Izzo told me this himself, that he met Jim Leland because the Tigers were out there playing an exhibition game with Colorado, and Leland was at the game. And Leland called after the game was over, and the Spartans got thrashed by like 30 points. And Leland said, Tom, I got to give you credit. He said, when my team gets thrashed, nobody can see me because I'm hiding in the dugout. A basketball coach, you get a thrashing like that, and everybody in the world can see you because you're sitting right there on the court. And that was the beginning of a friendship between Jim Leland and Tom Izzo.
Wow, that is a good story.
And Izzo is a huge baseball fan. And he's often over at the Spartan game supporting
them. Of course, we know his best friend is Mariucci, the football guy. So, let's update 41 Michigan State, 20 Valpo, 16:14 to go in the second half at the Palace of Auburn Hills, owned by Tom Gores, right? The Spartan.
Yeah.
The Pistons now.
Absolutely. Those woeful Detroit Pistons. It looks like they've
packed
it in.
Does anyone even care?
I think we've basically tossed the cards in and are just waiting until the free agent period.
And am I even noticing, too, both of you, is it a little bit less hockey town when they aren't quite as good? There's some hardcores, but do you notice a few of the bandwagoners have jumped off? Maybe the strike?
I don't know about that. I mean, okay. you look at that road trip the Red Wings had 2 weeks ago, coming out really strong, a lot of high hopes. Well, we're getting a call now, okay. But I don't know. Do you think it honestly has changed that much?
I don't know, but the other thing I do like about the NHL is that they're going to change. Do you see we're going to play in the East next
yeah,
year?
Yeah, I think I like
oh,
that.
Oh, God, I love like, that. Yeah. None like all these trips to San Jose and Phoenix and Anaheim, it's just not right.
No, I mean, if you want to watch a little Red Wings, you got to stay up till 11 o'clock at night and catch some, you know, and hockey's best in the third period anyway.
Well, that's right.
And during the playoffs, man. Right. I don't want to trash any hockey fans out there, but give me the third period in the playoffs.
Well, that's what my sister always used to say about NBA games. Why don't they just give them both 100 points and play for 2 minutes? That's hard to come up with.
Or what about
Although, how about LeBron last night? I'm loving this Heat thing. Did you see what they did?
Oh, yeah, they came back from like a huge
27
deficit.
Down yeah. with 7 minutes to go in the third against his old team without their three leading scorers, how they were even in the game. And sure enough, LeBron, they come firing back.
Unbelievable.
He is just so right on LeBron right now. I don't know anybody can beat the Heat for sure in the East.
Yeah.
Maybe the Spurs. I don't think the Thunder without Harden, they're not the same, are they?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, if you look at this Heat team last year, way more vulnerable. You know, they really didn't put the pieces together yet. They obviously had to make some splashes this year with free agency, a lot of veteran guys. But is the reason the Heat are so good mainly because they've had that experience together? I mean, if you look at this team 2 years ago when they first formed, and you look at them now,
yeah.
This is a completely
well,
different team.
Help. That has to help. And I think LeBron is just in his prime right now.
Right.
Yeah, and it took a couple years to develop that chemistry that you were talking about. But, boy, when they made those trades for Bosch, et cetera, they knew this is what they envisioned and this is what they've got.
But right. How about the no-name Nuggets now? I'm liking them on SportsCenter in the morning. The Manimal, or they call them and
right,
stuff.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Could you name a Denver Nugget? And they've won, what, how many in a row? And won yeah. at Oklahoma well, City the other night.
Yeah, well, that Western Conference with Denver, the Clippers now, Lob City. Then the Lakers are starting to piece it together. It's scary.
And I mean, as far as the Heat, because now everyone's talking about, I see SportsCenter's got their logo now, you know, of the Heat are at 24. Can they get to 33, which is the NBA consecutive win streak? The one, I guess, standing in the way, I think it's Easter Sunday. They're at San Antone.
Which now, is going to be pretty tricky.
Yeah, and even if Parker's not back, that's a crafty veteran team. But then again, boy, if the Heat are playing well, but that people pretty much think that's the last one. Of course, they got the woeful Pistons at home tomorrow night.
And one team who beat the Spurs this year was the woeful Pistons.
That's right. They did beat the San Antonio and broke like their long win streak.
So if the Pistons can beat the Spurs, then the Heat? Huh? Well, anyways, back as you were saying with the woeful Pistons. Besides the fact that, yeah, we're throwing in the cards, let's just talk about them for a minute. The last thing this team needed was the injury to Drummond. When they acquired Calderon, they started to gel for a little bit. I don't know if you guys remember. They won, I think, 4 straight right after they got the Calderon trade and Drummond was playing with them. Drummond got injured. Knight, you know, having some lingering issues. All those injuries really hindered the vision of Calderon with this team.
See, I didn't know Drummond was hurt.
Yeah, if Calderon had the pieces that the Pistons drafted, you know, those main pieces with him right now,
right.
I think this is a completely different Piston
team. Too. I remember when I saw George Blaha last fall, he said, you know, they could fight for that eighth spot. And I think they could have, like you said, now I don't know, but they need another piece or two and they'll be fine.
Right. I just don't think that they can get a total picture of this team without Drummond and without some of their pieces with them right now. The Pistons are going to have that cap space. They're going to have that time and they're going to have that ability to spend that money.
That's
but
right.
The way that Calderon is playing very well, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, he's been the leader of this team, along with some of the other guards. There really hasn't been anybody that stood out. But if you look at Calderon and as he's fit with this team, he's done a fine job.
Well, I mean, what is Stuckey's future then with the team?
Yeah, and that's the thing is there's a lot of conversation right now. I mean, a lot of chatter with Stuckey that it's time to let him go. We've given him 3 years. He was a first round top 10 pick. He was supposed to be, you know, that leader that Chauncey was years ago with this team. He was that point guard, shooting guard kind of guy that you know, wasn't afraid to be that playmaker, excellent mid-range shot. But if you look at this team now, with Stuckey not being able to lead his team to the playoffs, Is that just the pieces not in place? Is it just Stuckey may not be that leader that Dumars thought he was when he was drafted?
Yes.
Your guys' call.
Well, Alex, I suppose we should take a break. It's great having Alex join us. I'm Russ, and Kirk is here, too. It's 140. Before the break, Spartans in command at the Palace. It's 49-27 with about 12 and a half to go in the ball game. This is AM 870 WKAR.
Last year was the hottest year on record in the U.S. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Justin Gillis about his New York Times series, Temperature Rising, which examines the latest research on climate change. He says mainstream scientists
don't know how bad it's going to get and how fast it's going to get that way, which might be the ultimate question.
Join us.
The incomparable Terry Gross with Fresh Air at 3 p.m. on WKAR AM 870.
There's a chance of snow in the forecast with cloudy skies and a high today of 30. Cloudy tonight, too, with a chance of snow, the low in the mid-teens. It'll be mostly cloudy tomorrow with a high of 35. 39 for a high Saturday, staying mostly cloudy. I'm Scott Pohl.
Scott, would you talk to Mother Nature, please? Use your pull. This is ridiculous. It's 141 on AM 870 WKAR. Russ, Alex, and Kirk are here talking sports from Michigan State University. And again, I'll tell you, 12 and a half to go, 49-27, Spartans in command at the Palace. So where were we?
Oh, you know, we're talking Pistons hoops, man. And we're talking about Calderon's play, and I agree with Alex. I thought that was a good move, bringing him in. He really knows how to dish. He knows how to set up big guys. He's got a decent shot. I think they've only got him for 1 year, though, and they're going to have to renegotiate that contract next year, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, basically, the fact that the Spartans are running away right now, I think we've talked a lot about the Pistons, but the one thing I want to talk about with this Spartan team
is
throughout the whole year, This was Keith's team. He's been the vocal leader on this team. Izzo has said it. But you look at Payne and his progression. I mean, I heard Doherty the other day, you know, on the air talking about that this is the most improved player in the whole NCAA that he has seen. Just that
hard to argue.
Hard to argue. Now, if Keith Appling, we've seen him in a lot of games this year, follow out late. When he follows out late, when he cannot be that playmaker and lead his team late, this team has some problems.
You're right.
Now, the way Adrian Payne has played and the way he is playing right now in this Valparaiso game, he's obviously establishing himself as a leader too. Now, if Keith fouls out, does this team still have a chance of winning it all, or do you just count it all out?
Well, let me ask you this. If what we think of Memphis is true, that they've got good guards, can these guards get Keith in foul trouble? We can't have that, I guess.
Yeah, no, you're right. But the thing is that without Keith Appling, can this team win?
No.
Russ asked me the other day, what are the three keys to a long run in the tournament? Number one was Appling, number two was Appling, and number three. You know, we lost Kalen Lucas a couple of years ago in the second round of the tournament. That team would have won the NCAA championship if we'd had
May have.
It's your quarterback. You know, you lose your quarterback, you got a second-string quarterback. Trice is just not the guy yet. I mean, he just doesn't have the same skill sets.
Well, right. With the Spartans in command, have you drifted from the TV? You got the radio on. You're still keeping your eye on it. What do you think about the Spartans and what's ahead? As Alex says, this one's pretty much over. We'd love to hear your assessment at 355-WKAR, 517-355-WKAR.
Now, have you guys filled out brackets at all? Are you guys a little wary of the number one seeds like I am?
Not today, but yeah.
I mean, this year is just
especially,
such a
I'm not a Gonzaga guy. I think you don't play anybody, you don't get the number one seed. I would have given it to Miami. That's me. I don't think I'm not the big, ooh, Gonzaga. That's just me.
Right, and I actually heard the NC State head coach right before coming in here. He was on with Jim Rome, and he was talking about if the ACC was slated this year, was the fact that Miami wasn't given that number one. A lot of those Big Ten teams, even a couple Pac-10 teams, got the nod over some of these ACC teams. Was this just a year that the ACC was just looked down upon? And the NC State head coach said, absolutely. I totally agree. I personally feel that Miami should have gotten that number one. So, I mean, that obviously, the whole selection committee, the way it all goes down, is another topic of conversation.
I can tell you that if Duke or North Carolina wins the ACC regular season and tournament, they're a number one seed, if not number one in the whole darn tournament. That's almost like a little Miami bias there. I hate to look for, you know what I mean, though? How can you win the ACC regular season and tournament and not get a number one seed over a Gonzaga? Sorry.
Yeah, I'm with you, Alec. I've got one number one seed going to the Final Four, and that's Louisville, unfortunately, over the Spartans in the Elite Eight.
We'll get them again.
But
curse us over the air. That's not what we wanted.
Well, I can do that when we're up 52-31 with about 11 minutes to go. But I've got I do have that Miami team going to the Final Four. I think they're tough. I got Georgetown creeping in there, and I got Ohio State. I'm looking at number two seeds. I'm wary of the number ones like you are.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, did I hear some bad news? Is Aaron Kraft only a junior?
Yeah, I think he is.
He's eaten us up twice.
He was a senior. We would need to check
I think it was from Rex Rhodes' Twitter feed, which is pretty...
He is a junior.
Well, I don't want to see him anymore.
And that I was because I didn't know the Larkin guard at Miami is Barry Larkin's kid. So that's
Barry Larkin, who played a little bit of baseball.
U of M with some well-known guys in this area. Ken Hayward, who's the Grand Hotel guru, and John Grettenberger, who runs Loran Oils. They were all on that 84 Michigan team, the last Big Ten team to make it to the College World Series. So,
hey, Alex, who do you have winning it all in your bracket?
Actually, it's really funny because we have very similar picks, Kirk. I actually have Ohio State, Miami, Georgetown also, but... The thing that I have that a lot of people probably don't is I have number one seeds losing to nine seeds. I have Missouri creeping in there against Louisville.
Interesting.
The reason is when you look at this Louisville team, a lot of experienced seniors, they have some phenomenal guards. But you look at this Missouri team with Presley, I mean, when they face bigger guards, they have some problems. I mean, the Missouri guards have significant size over Louisville, and I just think that this Missouri team and some of the teams out in that, you know, in that Big 12 conference, I mean, it's scary. You looked at Kansas State losing to Kansas, you know, in that final, getting blown out. I mean, they're probably very angry coming into this tournament.
I think all the ones are vulnerable too, Alex. I just don't think in round one yet, or round two, whatever.
Now, what are your dark horses? Any dark horses, any 13
seeds? Anyone, I just think. But you know what? I almost think because everybody thinks this is going to be like parity upset city, maybe this is one where all the seeds are just going to play out more than ever because you just never know.
How about you, Kirk? Anyone you're looking at in your bracket?
That St. Louis team I've thought a little bit about as a dark horse. I've heard a lot of good things about that team. And so if you're looking at one, I'm always wary of Missouri, too. Of course, part of that is my dad went there and my mom went there. So there's Tiger and
Tiger
they're Tigers. They're Tigers on top of that. But I do think it's going to be one of those years where it's one, two, and three seeds are going to carry the day. I don't see too many major upsets this year. I just don't.
Yeah, actually, one team that I've actually looked into quite a bit is this New Mexico State team. Sure, New Mexico.
Not New Mexico.
They've got a great five, but this New Mexico State team, they face off against St. Louis. Of course, St. Louis fired up with the unfortunate events this past December, but this New Mexico State team is huge. They've got a 7'5" center. They've got, you know, a phenomenal 6'8" leader on their team who obviously has proven himself last year in the tournament too, but I personally think that this New Mexico State team is a little undershadowed just because of the fact that there's a lot of good things coming out around this St. Louis team. They're half court.
Are they in our region then?
I'll check on that. I think they might be, actually.
They are.
And who coaches them? Because you're right, Alford and New Mexico get the headlines out there. I'm not sure who.
Well, St. Louis is going to have to. If they keep winning, they're going to end up facing Louisville at one point in like the third round. So that will be a moment of truth.
And what do we know about the nightcap at the Palace? Michigan gets South Dakota State, who everybody says has like a guard that's like Trey Burke, a really good point guard. Do we think they have any chance to beat Michigan tonight?
Well, a lot of the yak about the before the game was that they thought South Dakota had a better shot of beating Michigan than Valpo had of beating Michigan State just because of the guard play.
And, of course, what a segue. That isn't going too well for Valpo. With 10:22 to go in the game, the Spartans are in command, 52-31, and this is AM 870 WKAR. It's 149. And, Kirk, before we let it slip away, let's talk about our couple of guests coming up tomorrow. It's been a lot of fun for you and I to fill in on Sports Talk 870 all week. Thanks to Gary Reed while he looks for for Earl's permanent replacement. And then tell us about your good friend Jim Robinson tomorrow.
Well, Jim Robinson is the head of Farm Bureau Insurance. Most listeners know, most sports followers, Farm Bureau Insurance sponsors all kinds of things from the high school to the collegiate to the pro level. And Jim is a passionate Spartan fan. So we're going to talk a little bit about why is it that Farm Bureau Insurance commits so much money, so many resources to athletics. And then, of course, we're going to pick Jim's brain on the Spartan game today and how they're going to do in the next round. Nothing he'd rather talk about than Spartan sports.
And another guest we're going to have tomorrow is Jim Pignatero. Jim leads the Student Athlete Support Services area over in the Smith Center and really one of the acclaimed programs in the country that helps our student athletes stay eligible and excel in the classroom while the athletics takes a real demand on their time. And I think Jim's going to tell us, too, about a new cool leadership kind of seminar you can sign up for that is involving some of our coaches like Izzo, D'Antonio, George, Slobodnik, Stoll, some of them. Combined with the business school, there's something they're doing together that he's going to tell us about.
Boy, again, under Mark Hollis, that MSU athletic department and the wonderful coaches they have, always on the cutting edge, always looking at the next thing, leadership development. What better to use athletics as a platform for leadership development?
Yeah, so Alex, let me ask you, kind of lost in the shuffle appropriately, so spring football's well underway. And the big question quarterback? Do you think Maxwell hangs on to it? Rex Rhodes seems to think so. You know.
Right. Let's talk about that for a second. I think some of the other bigger questions when you look at this team is not only the quarterback, but you look at the roster that was released recently. You look at some of these new guys, how they fit in. When you lose Deion Sims at tight end, I think it's a lot bigger of a hole than you might think when you first look at this quarterback situation firsthand. Most of Andrew Maxwell's passes, the fact that we didn't really have receivers until the second half of the year, you know, questioning, you know, with Lippitt and until Burbridge eventually came in there and had a role. But Deion Sims was the number one target for Maxwell that first half of the season. Debatably, when Burbridge came, he was maybe that go-to guy. But without Deion Sims, sure, you have Paul Lane coming up, but you lose that physicality in the middle and you lose that inline blocking. And along with that inline blocking, you're missing, you have Fofanuti coming back, but there's still that question at offensive line. Dan France moving over to guard, which was kind of a big surprise for some people. What is your guys' take on that offensive line?
I don't know, and don't forget Le'Veon Bell. I mean, the workhorse running back is gone too, and they've lost a lot of the offense. And it's always one in the trenches. I really don't know about the offensive line.
I think the offensive line is going to be improved. The question is whether Le'Veon might be the first running back to go in the draft or the first one or two.
Right.
I mean, who knows?
What do you make of the Big Ten divisions they're talking about for football in 2014? Looks like we're going to be in the East now with Ohio State and Michigan. Yeah, maybe there's 16, but for sure the 14, it looks like we're going to be in an East.
Yeah, all kinds of movements. I mean, even from hockey, you see this Big Four.
That's right, Big Ten hockey coming next year.
In Big Ten hockey, you've got Minnesota, Wisconsin joining them now. Yeah.
Penn State.
What do you guys – I think it's just – I don't know. I think it's a little bit unnecessary. Even the fact that, yes, the BCS is always slated, but just like tournament football, what do you guys think about that?
Hey, I've been a supporter of some kind of a playoff for football for a long time. It doesn't have to be everybody, whether it's eight teams or something. Let's get it started. Let's do some playoff stuff. I think it's a no-brainer.
Absolutely. And we do go to four after one more season with the BCS, right? 2014, there is a playoff. And do we know how those teams are going to be determined yet? Some kind of a BCS thing?
Yeah, I think BCS rankings, AP combination, AP and coaches poll. I'm not sure exactly how they're going to get to the four.
Score update from WKAR. There's 8:18 to go in the ball game. Sparty firmly in command, 54-36 over Valpo at the Palace. So, looks like we're moving on. There'll be a Saturday game at the Palace too for the green and white to show up in throngs at.
Yeah, you know, we're doing this broadcast during the first game here, but on Saturday, have to figure out a way to get some tickets for us. What do you think, man? If you hear of anything, let me know.
We'll have to ask Scott Westerman, maybe. I don't know. He's the ticket man, right?
As long as it's not 30 degrees below wind chill factor down there hanging out in the Palace parking lot. I've been there and done that.
That's right. So it's AM 870 WKAR. We're talking sports. And
hey, guys, back to that college football playoff. There actually was something that came out a couple days ago.
Good.
This is from Yahoo right here. Actually from CBS Sports, that the Rose and Sugar Bowl, and when you look at this playoff, would be the first two semifinal games of that playoff, starting in January 2015. And then the winners of that semifinal, guess where they're playing? Cowboy Stadium. So they're making some pretty big
moves. And is that permanent, or they'll rotate around, I wonder?
Yeah, I mean, this is the proposed semifinal playoff things. I guess there still needs that approval.
Well, that tells me, Alex, then, that the Rose Bowl won't be Big Ten Pac-10 champs anymore then.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
How can it be if it's going to be a semifinal?
Yeah, absolutely.
That would seem to make sense.
But it would be a feeder into the final game.
Right, but so where do the Big Ten and the Pac-10, Pac-12 champs play if it's not in the Rose Bowl? That's interesting.
Well, we've got a couple years to figure all that out, Russ, but let's just hope that the Spartans are involved in some of that in some way, shape, or form.
And speaking of involved, guys, how about Brian Urlacher not being able to finish out with the Bears?
And Ed Reed's a Texan now, I guess. Yeah. Are going to be the poor Ravens. I don't ever remember a Super Bowl champ being decimated like this, do you?
No, not at all. And I think the main thing that I was most confused about was the fact that we saw Bolden being traded for, a sixth-round pick?
Amazing.
But then there was the speculation of Ed Reed and Bolden, you know, them trying to link up together again and do some damage at San Francisco. But just the fact that, you know, you put the money where the mouth is. The fact that people may have slated Ed Reed because they thought they had a legitimate chance with San Francisco. But then, you know, with Urlacher, do you think he's going to go somewhere for a place that he can win over just trying to find a contract in general? Or what do you think is going to happen with him?
He probably is going to look for a combination of winning and money, you know. But that, you know, that's just life in the NFL these days. It can be cool and cold and cruel at the end there. But let me ask you, Alex, what you think of the Reggie Bush thing. I've been a Lion fan too long to get too excited about anything. But if he stays healthy, that's a nice dimension, I think, to that offense.
Oh, absolutely. And besides the fact if he stays healthy, I mean, look at the contract he was given. 4 years for a running back. You know, he's already 29. 4 years when you get to your 30s.
That's like wheelchair time. Yeah.
Right. And the only thing that Detroit did that I was a little skeptical about, because, of course, Reggie Bush, I'm sure you guys are excited as I am, but hopefully another downfield threat that would enhance the offense. But the re-signing of Chris Houston to 5 years. 5 years for a guy who, you know, obviously he's played fine football, stepping in to Detroit with a lot of holes at cornerback. But when you give a contract extension to a guy for 5 years, if you look at a guy who's been here for 5 years, you look at Dre Blatt. He was the last Lion to really establish himself at cornerback for 5 years.
Wow.
And then you're giving, you know, the nod to Chris Houston, who, I don't know, do they expect him to be elite? Do they expect him to be their number one corner? I don't know if it's there.
I don't either, but they must.
Well, I think it's a combination of they expect him to be good, but they got so many holes on that defense.
Well, and now
I can't share your optimism, you guys. I mean, until they shore up that defense,
well,
I mean,
and
they
that's
can
just,
score
you know,
35 points a game.
Cliff Averill is gone to Seattle, but they also lose Backus, whatever you think of his talent. He didn't get hurt, and he showed up a lot. We need a left tackle and a defensive end. What do we draft at five?
What do we do to the draft? Do you draft the best player available? Because
I think you probably get an offensive tackle if there's a good one, because as much as we need an Averill replacement, you do have Sue. There are some other decent people out there.
You got to protect. Right. You got to protect Stafford. Sure. You absolutely have to protect him.
Right, but that's the other question is the best player available that some analysts might say at that number five pick could be D. Milner. D. Milner, just his electrifying, you know, his electrifying play at Bama, his ability to be a top corner probably with any team. But then you look at the fact: what's more important, the best player, or the replacement and backing up of Stafford?
Well, that's always the question. It'll be interesting to watch. I think it's April 25th, prime time, right?
We got Tigers before I have to deal with Lions, though, man.
That's right.
A much better subject.
Well, as we leave the air, we'll give you our last report. Spartans firmly in command with 6:50 to go in the game, 56-40. They're on their way to the next round. They'll be playing Saturday at the Palace at a time to be determined. Kirk, great being on the air with you again. He's Kirk Heinze. I'm Russ White. Thank you, Alex, for joining in and adding your expertise. We'll be back tomorrow for one more day with Farm Bureau's Jim Robinson and Jim Pignatero. So go green. This is AM 870 WKAR.
This is Sports Talk from AM 870 WKAR.